Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse 11, and he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." Now, this is a very familiar portion of Scripture. We often refer to this part of the parable as the prodigal son. We have this man, and we have the two sons. The one who took, he wanted his father's inheritance, and he wanted to leave home. No doubt this young man was probably in rebellion, and he wanted his substance. He wanted his inheritance, and he wanted to go out on his own. There was another son, you remember, that stayed behind. I believe he was the older of the two. And later on, towards the end of the scene, towards the end of this parable, we'll see how the older son who stayed behind, who continued with his father, was rather indignant himself when that younger prodigal son returned home in repentance. Now, this is there's so many lessons in this parable, so many wonderful lessons. One of the greatest things that stands out to me, at least, is the compassion and the mercy that this father showed. But we will eventually get to that point. I want to think about this morning what this young man did. It says that he wasted his substance with riotous living. He wasted his substance with riotous living. There is the thought among a lot of people, sadly, and perhaps you've had this thought, and perhaps I've had this thought as well, that it's only natural for young people to want to experiment with this and try that and want to go out and live it up, you know, for a while. And sometimes I used this expression not long ago with some of you young people, and you had a blank stare. So evidently this is an old expression, but young people want to go out and sow their wild oats. And so the thinking is that, well, that's just natural. It's going to happen, and, you know, it's okay. You just got to let them get it out of their system and that sort of thing. Well, it's been my conviction in recent years that that kind of thinking is wrong, and that we ought to raise the expectations, help our young people raise their own expectations, their expectations of themselves, so that they begin to have a faithful walk with Christ at an early age, when they begin to show evidence of the love of God within their heart. We need to encourage them to raise their expectations, especially in the spiritual realm, when it comes to godly living, a godly walk, a faithful walk. I know it's very difficult for young people. It's been difficult for young people in every generation, probably for all ages. Perhaps it's a little more difficult now. Perhaps there's more pressure now than ever before. But nevertheless, we can teach our young children that there are consequences of our actions. There's always consequences. Always consequences. This young man, like so many, wanted to strike out on his own, and when he left home and went to a far country. Went to a far country. Perhaps he had good intentions at first, I don't know. Perhaps that he maybe was just feeling a little bit rebellious, wanted to fly a little bit, wanted to flap his wings, you know, get out of the house, wanted to kind of strike out on his own for a little while. Maybe he didn't have these intentions to begin with, to go out there and start living a riotous life. But nevertheless, when he got into that far country, you see, when he got away from family, when he got away from home, when he got into a far country where there was really nobody around him that really cared anything about him personally, and so there was nobody around him that would help keep him accountable, you know, we all need each other for that. We all need to one another so that we kind of keep ourselves in check. And we need the strength and encouragement that we draw from one another. That's why family is so important. That's why church is so important. That's why godly friends are so important. We need that bond. We need that tie. We need the strength that comes from that godly tie, that godly fellowship that we have with family and friends and our church. Well, whatever the intentions or whatever had this young man had in mind to begin with, he got over there to that far country where there was nobody around him that cared anything about him. Perhaps they made friends with him because he had means to entertain them for a time. And it says that he wasted his substance on riotous living. I want to think about some proverbs for just a few minutes. While we're looking at this parable, think about this young man going off by himself into a far country. And I want to read these proverbs, beginning first of all with Proverbs 23. Chapter 23 of Proverbs. Proverbs is a wonderful book. It is amazing the wisdom that is contained in this book. It shouldn't be so amazing to us that this is still relevant today. I mean, this is the Word of God, and the Word of God hasn't changed. Human nature hasn't changed, but God hasn't changed either. We still have the same tendencies, no matter what age we are. We still have, but God still knows us as well as He has ever known anybody. He knows all about us. He created mankind, so He knows. Even in our fallen, sinful nature, He knows what our tendencies are. He knows what the temptations are. And so this wisdom is so relevant. It still applies to us today. Written some 3,000 years ago. And that's the amazing thing about it. But we find this in Proverbs 23, beginning, let's read verse 19 through verse 21. It says, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise." Now, oftentimes in the Proverbs, the writer is addressing my son, my son. Well, the same wisdom applies to my daughter. The same wisdom applies to young men and young women alike. The same wisdom applies to boys and girls alike. So you young people, you young ladies, you young girls, when you read this and while you're hearing it being read this morning, you can put your name there, if you would. Just put your name, whether you're a boy, girl, young man, young woman, put your name here. Hear thou, my son, hear thou, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Listen to verse 20. Here's wisdom. Here is where our hearts should be guided. Be not among wine-bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. Now, we might not understand some of that language, but we have the next verse to help us understand it. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. So, this wisdom is telling us that if we associate and be among and spend our time with wine-bibbers, the drunkards, those who don't see anything wrong with partaking of alcohol on a regular basis for the purpose of making them feel good. That's a wine-bibber. Partaking of alcohol for the wrong purpose. There are some medicinal, there is a medicinal value to alcohol in the right form and in the right quantity, but not a wine bibber. A wine bibber is one who stays at the wine too long. And this wisdom tells us to not be among those wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. The drunkard, the man who is gluttonous, the man who can't get enough, whatever it might be, you fill in the blank. If you can't get enough of something, that is called gluttony. If you just want and want and want more and more and more of something that you already have a sufficient amount of, that's gluttony. And the one who is a wine bibber that wants that, you know, that stays at the wine too long, and the gluttonous man who stays at whatever it might be too long or wants too much of it, it says that that kind of person will come to poverty. Those kind of things dull our minds. Those kind of things, drunkenness and gluttony, those kind of things cloud our minds. They interfere with our ability to make good judgment. And that's why he says drowsiness is like puts us in a stupor, in a sleep, in a state of slumber. And drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. That kind of person who has all of this interfering with their sound judgment puts themselves in a stupor or puts themselves in a mindset that they can only focus on this one thing, that they just can't wait till they get through with this so they can go back to the wine. They can't wait till they get through the day so they can go back to this gluttony, whatever it might be, that they can't get enough of. That man will come to poverty. And that kind of mindset, he says, clothes a man with rags. We know the story of the young man there. We read a good portion of it. And we see that he goes from having probably a pretty nice inheritance from his father. A pretty nice inheritance from his father. And he has that in his possession. He, at that point, still has the ability to do something good with it. To put it to good use. You know, think about nowadays. You come into a little sum of money like that. And perhaps you've had a dream of starting your own business. Or perhaps you want to, if finally you've got some amount that's sufficient enough to do some kind of investing. You know, you come into a sum of money like that. Then you have the opportunity to do something good with it, something positive. Perhaps you want to help with a charitable organization. Perhaps you come into a sum of money where you can even leave work for a little while, take a leave of absence and go do some charitable work yourself. Whatever it might be, you have the opportunity to do something good with that. And this young man did. But he went to that far off country. He left home and he got down there and he just started living it up. Oh, he probably made a lot of friends. He probably had a lot of friends as long as he still had the money with him, as long as he was still paying the way. But then the money runs out and he couldn't find work. Maybe that was the case. He couldn't find a job. I tell you what he couldn't find. He couldn't find anybody that cared anything about him because he was away from home. He found no one to care for him, and he finds himself just in a very short period of time from having this nice little sum, this nice little inheritance where he can do something good with himself, do good something with that inheritance and do something positive, till the next scene we see him living among the swine and just wishing that he could fill his belly up with the husks that the swine did eat. The drunkard and the glutton, they'll come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. In chapter 28 of Proverbs, verse 7 says, "Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son." The person, the young person, young son, young daughter, young man, young woman, the person who goes by the rules, if you will. The person who, and we're talking about the law here, we're talking about the law of God. The law of God. We're talking about godly living. We're talking about doing right. Doing right. Did you know that when you do right, if you are committed to doing the right thing, then eventually everything is going to work out. Eventually everything is going to work out. As long as you are trying to do the right thing, you have a clear conscience. I didn't say you reach perfection, but you have a clear conscience knowing that you are at least trying to do what is right. And you can lay down your head at night and you can thank God for the many blessings that He's given you. And you can ask Him to forgive you for what you have done wrong and ask Him to watch over you through the night and give you strength the next morning to go at it again. Now that's peaceful. That's a peaceful night's rest, and that's a peaceful state of mind. That's keeping the law. That's trying to do what is right. That's wise. That's wise. And that kind of wisdom will never fail you. That kind of wisdom will never let you down. But he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. This father there in this parable of the prodigal son, this father, no doubt, as long as his son was gone, no doubt that father continued to look for his return. Continued to look for his return. I can just imagine that he went out every day and stood on that hillside looking towards that far country, looking for a sign, just looking for some kind of movement, looking to see and hoping and praying for his son to come back over the hill so he could run out to meet him. And that's what he did eventually. And we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. It would have been a shame for that father. In that day, the culture was such that if you had a son that went out and did this kind of thing, that wasted his father's inheritance on riotous living, and just spent it all and wasted it all and found himself in the hog pen, that would have been a great shame to that father. Would have brought great shame unto the family. But we'll see a little bit later on that regardless of what others around that family might have thought, in fact, regardless of what some within the family thought, like the older son, that father, we'll see towards the end, he was willing to bring that, to let that repentant son come back in and to rejoice and throw a feast when typically those around him would have shunned that father and that family. The one who is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. If you're a companion of others who are living this kind of lifestyle, who are just out there wide open, anything goes, just anything goes, that kind of living, that kind of lifestyle will eventually rub off on you, friends. Young people, it will eventually rub off on you. Rather than those kind of companions being an influence on you in the wrong way, there is that opportunity for us to be an influence on them in a positive way. But if you stay too long and become their companions, their close companions, then it's a good possibility. Well, first of all, you're going to be associated with that kind of lifestyle, with that riotous living, whether you are actually living that kind of lifestyle or not, simply because you are companions with those that are. But it's a good possibility that that companionship continues long enough, then you will find yourself following those same riotous steps. Let's look in Proverbs chapter 2 very quickly. Proverbs chapter 2, and we'll read verse 10 and 11. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Here's two things. Two things we're talking about. Wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom entereth your heart. How does wisdom enter your heart? Well, a couple of different ways at least. We gain wisdom by experience, but we also can gain wisdom by listening to the instructions of others. We can glean their wisdom. We can acquire some of that same wisdom from the experience of others. Our own experience and the experience of others. But when wisdom enters our heart, it says, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. If we have a desire for knowledge, in other words, knowledge in this sense, we're talking about knowledge of the circumstances around us and knowledge of the consequences of whatever actions we are thinking about taking. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant, when you want that knowledge, it's a good thing. When you think about it in a good way, you desire that knowledge. Verse 11 says, discretion, that is sound judgment, shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. So what we have here is really an equation. In verse 10, we have wisdom plus knowledge equals discretion and understanding. understanding. When you understand a little bit more about life, young people, when you understand a little bit more about the people around you, when you understand about the motivation of those around you, when you understand more about God's Word, when you understand more about the circumstances that you're in, when you understand more about the consequences of the actions that you are thinking about taking, that's when you began to gain this wisdom. That's when you began to exercise sound judgment. Good judgment that's going to guide your heart, that's going to guide you in the right way. Discretion plus understanding, or I'm sorry, wisdom plus knowledge equals discretion and understanding. It tells us a couple of things that this will do for us. It tells us that in verse 12, that this formula, if you will deliver us from the way of the evil man. And then in verse 16, it says it will deliver us from the strange woman. So the evil and the temptations and the ungodliness out there, all that out there that's trying to pollute our minds, this formula will deliver us from that evil, will deliver us from that temptation. Verse 20 says, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men. Here's the result of following after wisdom and knowledge, discretion and understanding, all of this having as its foundation God's Word, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect, that is, the mature, the one who has, talking about completeness and maturity, not perfection as without sin, but the perfect shall remain in it. The upright shall dwell in the land. When you are walking in the ways of good men, when you are trying to keep the paths of righteousness, there is a peace and joy and satisfaction and contentment in life that you will never experience in any other way. Contentment and satisfaction that you'll never find out there in the world. Peace and joy that will never be yours out there in the world, but can only come in walking and trying to keep these paths of righteousness. Well, there's several more proverbs that I'd like to share with you very quickly. But I think what I would like to do is let's go to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7, and see if we can get a little more wisdom here. Beginning in verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement. Now here's an experience of someone who is trying to share their experience with us so that we can glean some knowledge and wisdom. At the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, those who were unlearned, those who had not had this knowledge, those who did not listen to good judgment, those who did not have the understanding, and I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. Talking about the corner of the strange woman. The strange woman who flatters others with her words. And he went the way to her house. And the several verses on down describes further what this scene was like. And here's the temptation. Here's the temptation that wisdom will deliver us from. This kind of temptation is all around us, constantly. And it's not just for our youth. It's not just a temptation to our youth. It's a temptation to all of us, really, no matter what age we are. But listen to what he says near the end of this chapter. And you go read that for yourself, chapter 7. But near the end of this chapter, verse 24, it says, hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Listen to this. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Friends, just remember this. Now, we have this example here, this parable for us of the prodigal son. He went down, spent his father's inheritance, wasted it on riotous living, And he finds himself alone with no one to care about him, broken in every way, broken in every way. Friends, wisdom and knowledge equals discretion and understanding. It is my prayer that you, young men and young women, would raise your expectations. Parents, grandparents, help them raise their expectations. Don't be afraid to be different. Don't be afraid to stand out. Don't be afraid to stand up for what is right. Keep the paths of righteousness, and wisdom will deliver you.